This is Art Moves. Art Moves is a series of curated conversations at the intersection of art, innovation, and social justice.
Each week, we'll be talking with the innovative thinkers and doers who are forging new ground in the creative arts or redefining what it means to be creative.
I'm Tony Williams.
And I'm Eli Kislansky.
And we're your hosts for Art Moves. And we are just, what do we say, Eli? I'm thrilled.
You're delighted, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled.
I'm thrilled, yeah.
That we have Sherwin Banfield. I mean, you know, it's not all the time that you get to talk to art greatness. And I think that this, I'm not kidding you, Sherwin. I think that you are great. You're making an incredible contribution. But before we get into all your work and all your genius, talk to us about what kind of art moves you.
Peace, everyone. What type of art moves me? Well, I would say anything that has something historical. Hmm. And a depth of study and dedication that's obvious when you look at it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting because not a lot of work has that. No, it's true. Right. It's like, it's I'm always surprised when I talk to people who are artists and they have no clue about art history. It's like, how could you do that?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's got gravitas. Yeah.
I remember being in college and just putting your work up on the wall and having it critiqued by the classroom and the instructor. And you can obviously tell some folks did it the night before.
And oh, interesting.
Always, and that always like just got to me because, you know, you're here to make, you know, something of your time and your skills and talent. And when a project is due, you're putting it on the wall and you're standing by it and it's
right.
Only a few hours old. You know?
I could be guilty of that. You know, in painting class, I did the same. I took one canvas and I painted on top of it. If I was a student, I would have said it's conceptual, but I wasn't at that point. The problem is the teacher wanted to see all my paintings, but I only had one.
You know, but you said something that triggered me, which was criticism, right? Now you're in the public art domain and I'm thinking about Hank Willis Thomas's work, The Embrace.
And the
criticism. What do you have to say about that when your work gets misunderstood?
Your work should always have some sort of criticism. Mm. Your work should always jar folks into a conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love what he did. Mm-hmm. I think he's an exceptional artist. I think by showcasing such a historical figure and a meaningful figure for many folks in a unique way and in his voice and his tradition, which is using certain areas of the body to convey a message, was to convey an action or a thought. I thought what he did was incredible. And if it takes that type of art to talk and have a conversation about what can be a monument for a historical figure and putting it in the context of go deeper, it shouldn't just be a body that exemplifies a person. It can be a part of the body. It can be a piece of art that is not just traditional. It has some tradition to it in terms of like the way it's created, its process, but introduce new ideas so that folks can see art from a different perspective. It's an educational piece.
Yeah, and interesting, because it's traditional in the sense that it's bronze, but I think the thing about it also makes them people instead of these historic figures, you know what I mean? You can personalize them.
Yeah.
But I think, I guess it has to do with composite, right? I mean, I understand arms embracing, but not everyone will be able to get that. Do you know what I mean? When I think about how.
And good.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
There should be some level of education, right? Art's
right.
Supposed to teach, convey, and introduce new
not
ideas.
Literal, not so literal, right?
Yeah, well, public monuments have been literal throughout history.
And we were just speaking about that.
And if it was the first introduction to King's legacy as a monument, then it will be most likely considered a foul ball, right? But it's a new introduction to the, probably in the hundreds of monuments, paintings, creative art pieces that symbolizes King. There's kings everywhere throughout, not just in the United States, but globally. So to have this version of King, I think it's refreshing.
So, you know, there's this thing you talked about, this thing about that your work is a reflection of the shapes, line, design, proportions of beauty in all things visual and tangible. But in a lot of ways, your work is also has a certain kind of toughness to it, which you'd say is not quite that, right? It's sort of a counterpose, those two things.
When I view things, when I view people, when I view nature, I am dissecting it. I'm looking for the lines, the shapes, the planes, and then that gets filtered through my creative texture, and I recreate it in my own way. I love the people watch, and everyone has a unique beauty in them that distance itself from what the measurements of a face should be, right? Like some eyes are further apart, some are higher, some are lower, mm-hmm. some are beady, some are protruding. And yeah, there's a lot of beauty and interest in faces and these people.
After a while, I got very Picasso-esque. I started doing, but the other thing, though, is interesting. And these were done decades ago. And now I look at them now, it's like, wow, you could still see these kind of people. It's like they haven't changed. No, they have iPods now, but that's about it. You know, iPhones. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump ahead because I'm looking at these beautiful postcards of Sky's the Limit in the County of Kings, and it's Biggie Smalls, basically. And I look at it, and it looks as though it's a bust, and then it's a jukebox in a way. I mean, to me, what you've done is you've changed the way a statue looks. You've innovated.
Oh, totally, yeah. But the introduction of solar power audio, which is like...
I mean, all of that, that's an innovation. Talk to us about how that came to be.
I think there's also, I want to add to that.
Okay, please.
On the technique, it's also a combination of classic bronze, right? Which is the going from drawings to clay and stuff like that, maquettes, but also certain elements of fabrication and technology, right?
Yeah.
So that's a really unique combination.
Yeah. I take into account my audience. And if I can take them on a journey from what is presented to them in their education and expand it by showcasing something new and something innovative, then I think I've done my job. So drawing is something that everyone does as a child. Sculpture maybe in the form of Play-Doh, and you may make a few things. But when you walk around, you look at sculpture, you see sculpture in your space, you see these figurative representations, usually, traditionally. So I wanted to stick to that. And I loved it. I love looking at folks' face and showcasing the beauty of them. Mm-hmm. So the traditional aspect of sculpture is very important to me. That's what I study. That's what I love. But then also, why not introduce new ideas for public sculpture if I'm depicting a musician? Let's make it interactive. Because the musician, when you see them, it may conjure up some memories, but if you have their music playing, then that in itself transports you to that moment you heard that song or what was happening in your life when that song came on, or multiple times. So I thought that by introducing the music of the artist while as a sculpture will make it interactive and more engaging. Because when I look around, and I walk around the city where I see sculpture, I might be the only one looking at it. Mm-hmm. If it's a depiction of an older traditional sculpture, right? Something from our past, a
right.
general or a president or someone in public office. So I love the idea of incorporating music.
It's so interactive. And I'm wondering, what's been the response? What's been the response that you've gotten? Because, of course, now you go to a sculpture and now it's kind of interacting with you. It's singing. It's doing, what is it that we'll experience? And then how have people experienced it?
Okay. So that's a great question because, you know, I have, like the Hank Willis Thomas, you have opinions from afar and you have opinions from folks who actually go and travel to go see this thing, right? The opinions from afar comes in all different shapes and forms, right? You have the haters,
The haters.
And the deep historical haters.
Ooh.
Right?
Talk about the deep historical haters.
Well,
maybe would you say that?
If I'm online and I'm and I'm engaging with and I see a message pop up and the image or the profile image isn't blank, mm-hmm. then someone is hiding, like someone would hide behind a white sheet.
Okay.
And they'll be spitting and saying a few things that are from that type of legacy in America. So I've got some type of hate coming at me in that way. But I don't want to put too much light on that, because right. that's very minimal and minuscule compared to the overwhelming amount of love and support and admiration and applause that I've gotten from the same folks who are on social media, not the same, but similar folks who are on social media, and folks who actually travel distances.
Wow.
Like, I got a message from someone in the Poconos, said they left the Poconos, mm-hmm. drove down to come yeah. see it.
It's impressive, right?
And there was the video themselves approaching it. And,
oh, video themselves approaching it. Oh, yeah, that's it good was, stuff. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
It was a moment to record for them to engage with this statue that's mm-hmm. representational of someone that they admire and love, mm-hmm. may have hold deep meaning for them.
We're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM, and we're talking to the delightful and knowledgeable and talented Sherwin Banfield. But, you know, well, something that came to mind, by the way, when you said that, and I believe Voltaire once said that nobody remembers famous critics, so.
true.
But, you know, I think we should go back a little bit to public art, because that's mm-hmm. who you are in large part of public artists. And we all know it's quite a challenge. And, you know, invariably a lot of public artists kind of vapid, unfortunately, for various reasons. And part of it, I think, is also that it's not just your own work, putting it out there in expression in a gallery, but you're doing it in a public domain. So then you have to engage people like communities and government officials and stuff like that. So how do you roll them, especially when you have something where you have innovative ideas and uncommon ideas, to get them to buy into it and, you know, get excited about it and to manifest it?
I think my work in and of itself has a built-in acceptance to it.
Oh, right? Interesting.
Because of the topic or the people?
The topic, the individuals, the
resonance, perhaps?
The sustainable mm-hmm. idea. It just hits on a few points that are seemingly important to our culture, right? Mm-hmm. If I incorporate solar panels, it's a sustainable sculpture. It helps with the environment. It falls into that category. If it's playing music, then you have some folks that are living either in the moment or in the past, and that music is taking them there. And if it's a traditionally sculpted art piece, then the art world may take notice. It's not just the art world, but a section of the art world, which is the traditional figurative aspect of the art world, right? That falls in that tradition of public sculpture, representational art. And the topic, the person, the subject matter also is hot commodity. It's hip hop. It's, you know, hip hop is taking its place in society. It's coming to its own. It's mm-hmm. it's a renaissance music that speaks to the youth and carries into adulthood. And most of our public officials are bona fide hip hop artists fans from their youth.
Why do you think it's renaissance music? It's a very interesting comment. I'll tell you why in a minute, because we also believe that we're on the cusp of another right. renaissance.
I think it's a renaissance art form because the nature of it is, for one, it's all-encompassing, so mm-hmm. anyone can participate, and it's innovative in multiple disciplines, from aerosol arts, graffiti, to the actual dancing b-boys, of course, the actual hip-hop artists and how they innovate. And it led to education within the community of not just being an artist, but being understanding the business behind the art.
The Renaissance is a rebirth. That's what it means in French, in English, right?
Yeah.
So how's this? It's a little bit put you on the spot, but it's
okay. Fine.
There is an escape door over here. But how is it a rebirth? I mean, it is to a certain extent, but I'd be interested mm-hmm. to get your thoughts on how you see it as a rebirth. Well, because the original Renaissance was a renewed interest in Greek and Roman art brought into a new century.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he's tweaking that.
Well, but it also...
That's what it used to be.
It didn't hip hop to a large extent use some existing yeah. tracks to rebuild something new out of it, right?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Its mm-hmm. foundation is, you know, it's because instruments were taken out of the school system and poverty was just everywhere in New York City. The kids relied on what they had at their disposal, and that was record players and the power from the parks. You know, you tap into the power and power your sound system, and here you have hip hop reinventing
and break dance.
What music right. is. Mm-hmm. So it's a new form, it's a new expression, and it's grown in maturity to where it is now.
It's an American art form.
It's the most powerful export.
I'd like to get at Cypher and Queens. How did you come up with that title? Because we looked up the definition of Cypher because we were trying to figure out that connection,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got two sheets of questions
right,
on it.
Right, right.
Well,
no, we can.
It all comes from my personal experience.
But that's what it should come from. You're an artist, right?
When Yes. Mm-hmm. I like to think of myself as an artist. And
you are.
As I was, back to... school. I went to Parsons here in the city, and I lived in the dorms. So it was my opportunity not to just to be away from my family, but also to explore and experience all the hip hop that was happening. Not having to go to venues all the time, but just actually walk into parks like Washington Square Park. You would smell what you would smell, mm-hmm. and you would hear what you would hear, and you would have these ciphers of these hip hop artists just freestyling. Mm-hmm. And you could participate. I wouldn't participate because I didn't have that kind of skill, but I would observe and see how these artists would participate and try to one-up each other in the cipher and be like, yo, this is incredible. This is energy.
What was the inspiration for the word cipher? I think that's what it was.
Yeah, the inspiration for the word cipher is having these three artists who are no longer with us that represents different styles in hip hop mm-hmm. that are participating in a cipher in this sculptural form. So instead of having the three monuments facing out in a line, next to each other, they are in a semicircle. So they're in a cipher, and each one having the music play.
I see what you're doing. I really understand what I see it now.
You know, and it opens up the circle for participation and for and to be introduced to enter the circle as the viewer, as the observer.
It's almost making the statue an animate and not an inanimate object, but something again that you're interacting with that you can start to participate in, even though it is not that person in the flesh at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it takes it out of being an observer and the observed into being a convocation of some kind, because now you're in like a meeting, right? Because they're in a mm-hmm. semicircle and they're facing inwards, and you invariably would do it from the center of it somehow. Yes. That would
yes.
be the best room.
Yes.
Point, right?
There is a point where you stand that you can hear the music at its peak. And the sculptures are looking down at you. So they are in turn observing you as how you are observing them, right? Sculptures are usually looking out, looking up when your representational art is of someone from the past. But these sculptures are actually looking down at the viewer in a form of a conversation.
You're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM, and we're talking to Sherwin Banfield, and it's really just been such a eye-opening and interesting conversation, I must say. I'd like to know, how do you select the icons? You know, I was listening to Seth Meyers talking to LL Cool J, and he was like, I got a statue, you know. So how do you decide? Does a group decide? Who decides? Who gets memorialized?
I make the initial decision. Ideas may come to me internally or from an external source. So the Cypher in Queens, that is an idea I've had on my shelf for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it showed up in this cipher form for the opportunity that presented itself, which was an open call at Socrates Sculpture Park for their fellowship. I submitted this idea. I thought that since Socrates Park is in Queens and I wanted to showcase hip hop artists that were meaningful to me in various stages in my life.
In Socrates Park and talk and speak. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that ties in. Yeah.
Somehow you could find ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And and when they accepted the idea, I was thrilled because I just got fired from my job.
No, so it was the natural. It was the stepping stone that I needed.
It's like breakdown breakthrough.
Like, yeah,
I was happy because I got a severance, and I thought, my God, this the opportunity.
This gives you the
I've
time.
Been studying, practicing at the Art Students League of New York on the weekends and during the evenings, and trying to make things happen that way, building up my skill, building up a portfolio, and having some success in the public art realm, my first success. And when this happened, I said, hey, now. And this open call just came across my Instagram feed. I said, hey, now.
I love this, hey, now, because I can feel that. It's like, this is my moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride this wave. Yeah. This is my time. Do you have a muse?
What source of inspiration?
Yeah, what is your, yeah. What, you
who do you
have
look at?
That? Yeah.
I don't have a muse.
Okay.
Yeah. I look into myself and I'm finding a way to express myself. And I look at the ways of problem solving as a means of getting my ideas out, right? I do have artists that I love. We spoke about the Renaissance. And you know what? Bernini is one of my favorites, right? I mean, he's not really Renaissance. He's more Baroque, but that's post-Renaissance.
What about primitive art, meaning African art? Does that inspire you in any way?
It does. The Cypher in Queens was inspired by slit gongs, which are not particularly African, but of melanated people from the Pacific Islands, and the Ambrim Islands.
And I hate to call it primitive, but you know,
right? That's the label we accept.
Put it right.
It's not a history label. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you'll find these in the Oceanic section. Once you walk past the Greek section, you find these amazing structures that we are calling it art and sculpture, right? But for them, they are supernatural beings. They are these large sculptures made from the breadfruit tree, completely carved out of the trunk, and they symbolize these structures for ceremonious events, and they use them to communicate between villages or between groups of folks. And when I saw it was three of them. They had this one shape slit down the middle, and they're actually instruments. They're acoustic instruments, and you hit them with a stick to bring them into life.
That sounds like an influence, right?
So it's an interesting amalgam too, because on one side it's the traditional, you know, European centric bronze casting from clay and stuff like that, and also the fabrication of 21st century, you know, methodologies and this other.
This is social justice and innovation. We're watching it. And technology. All three: social justice, innovation, and technology.
I think I better sit down. All right. So, So here's one of these questions that definitely is not going towards your driving lessons, but.
Okay. Hit me.
So if I had, I was Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, and came up to you and I said, Sherwin, you have unlimited budget, unlimited time. There's no consequences. Here's what it is. You know, create whatever you want. What would be your magnus opus, or what would you be dreaming of creating?
I would create a series of sculptures that represent, that start with hip hop, and put these icons, these cultural shifters, in public spaces that I believe could engage the community.
Around the world?
Not around the world. I would stick to the environment in which they were nurtured.
What issues would you tackle?
Interesting question. That's not the way I work.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't work with a exact formula. I come with ideas that I think will be helpful for the community. And my sculptures are a start with that.
How do you plug in? How do you stay relevant? What's your continuing education as it relates to community? How do you make that happen?
I think, well, this is where the social activist aspect of the art can be placed on my work. Just by creating representations of individuals that are from certain environments, black and brown individuals, they become a model for social justice because we're in a country that has underrepresentation of black and brown folks. Mm-hmm. And if there's representation, is not in a light that showcases the beauty, contributions, and
I would say the power, right?
Yeah.
The power,
right?
The power. Because what I noticed in your work, I don't know, there's like a puffy, there's a feel to it. It's like the word I'm thinking about is, and maybe it's because Biggie was kind of on the plus size, mm-hmm. but I noticed there's a puffiness of something. I don't know what I would call it, but.
Like a fullness?
Yeah, fullness. Maybe that's the word. Yes, yes.
Right.
There's a fullness in it. It feels almost touchable in a weird way.
It has gravitas and it also has a fullness to it.
Right, right. Thank you, Eli.
Yeah.
Good save.
That's intentional because the skill set that I try to convey is what the person looks like or feels like underneath the skin. Everyone has a structure underneath, a skull, muscles, all of that, right?
Soul too, yeah.
Right, yeah. And the soul, the embodiment is in there too. So when I sculpt, it's in the eyes. The eyes have it, and the buildup of the clay, you should feel that too.
I've always admired being able to do that.
But there's a difference, and you're touching on something that is important because there is a difference between a computer sculpting and a person.
Oh, let's get into that.
Right?
This is it. No, this is it.
Like a painter who applies a stroke, like John Coltrane, who hits every single note. Every single note is a thought, right? Whether subconscious or conscious. Every painting stroke is an actual thought. So when I apply the clay, it is a thought, as opposed to just 3D printer printing the outside of a structure. My structure is built up from underneath, from inside, until I arrive at what you're looking at, right? So somehow you are able to feel that because you're looking at the end result of that process. All thoughts and decisions arriving at this conclusion.
And choices too. Thoughts, that was decision is a choice. You're amazing. And I would encourage our listeners to look at your work. Where can they go and see this, these projects?
You can find this project, in Dumbo off the Brooklyn Bridge, corner of Washington and Prospect. I also have a piece in Queens Botanical Garden, and I have another piece coming up for Brooklyn Botanical Garden.
You know what? This has just been so intriguing and fascinating, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have to speak with you, but this has just been quite amazing. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Art Moves is co-produced by Brick Arts Media and pre-recorded at Brick Studio in downtown Brooklyn.
This has been Art Moves with your hosts, Tony Williams and Eli Kozlansky. Find some art that moves you and share it with someone.